Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, coming to you this November 29th. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. I am here and ready to go.
Great. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Welcome again and good to be aboard from Oklahoma.
Amen. Amen. Well, men, I'll turn it over to you. I know we've got some callers and I'll sure let you know when they call in.
Thank you.
Good.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Hope is Alive. Here we are, Wednesday, almost the end of the year. Pastor, this year has just almost flown by, but it seems like it's been forever since we've talked to each other. I don't know how that works, but time is, that's the way time works sometimes. Can't believe we're coming up on the last month of the year.
I know. It seems like I've just gotten used to marking 17 on my checks, much less 18. So here we go again.
Did you have a good break?
Oh, yeah.
Take off? Yeah, no, you guys didn't take off this Monday, did you? I think I saw the email that you had delivered.
No, we ministered right through the Thanksgiving Mondays. We'll be off during the Christmas period, but we had had big crowds. We've had generally around 15. We had, 14 this last Monday. I think it was, maybe it was 17 the week before. But they're still coming for help from all over, and usually some from out of state.
Well, good.
Need as much.
Need as much. And just thank God that out of those 15 to 20 people that show up each week, that someone took the time to share what they knew about deliverance with them, and that there's a group such as Pastor Cox's group that gathers every Monday in Oklahoma City that is ready in season, out of season, and ready to do the good works of Jesus, which the supernatural works of Jesus, which is commonly called deliverance. And that is the name of the book that Pastor wrote, called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And it is a guidebook laid down step by step, take you through the deliverance process to help people set free. And you can get this book by going to You can get it for Scriptures for America by calling 307-742-7582. Just tell Richard you want the book, and he'll get it out to you. I think we ask a $20 offering on it. But certainly, if you need it and the funds are not there, we'll be more than willing to get it out to you if there's a need. Also, you could go to, on the Internet, deliveranceusa.com. And on there is the Deliverance website where all the tools that you would need, some of the things laid out in the book and some other things in there, some additional prayers that are there to help you out. And, Pastor, I did notice when the email came out this week, the format was looking different. Is that the way the website looks now? Because it was pretty neat the way it was laid out in email.
Well, yes, we've overhauled the website, had a man that specializes in that paid him to redo it and to improve on some things, we think. And so, yeah, it has a different look.
That looks good to me. Just to give you a little input on my side, I thought it was a little user-friendly than the website. But I didn't follow the links. I just was just looking around the email. And I assume that it was probably a change all the way to the website as well, which... instead of having to search through the pages, everything was right there on it. So be sure to check that out there, deliveranceusa.com. And if you have any information regarding Deliverance and need to get a hold of us for any reason, one, you can, there's two ways you can do it. You can get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com. Again, that's info@deliveranceusa.com. Or if you just call Richard at the office and give them their name and number, and we'll have someone get back to you. I know we have a couple of testimonies on tonight, and one of the ladies was healed of cancer, and I was requested by Pastor to read a couple of scriptures that would be kind of pertinent towards her testimony, and one of them was Luke 13:11-13. So I'm going to read that. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. Now there's the key right there. The sickness was caused by a spirit, which goes to show you that these demonic spirits that come upon people can cause sicknesses. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she became erect again and began glorifying God. And that just simple statement that Jesus did right there, he says, "Woman, you are free." Freed her from the sickness. That power and authority, he transferred that over to all believers in Christ, all Christians that follow him. He transferred that authority over to us to be able to walk in that same type of authority. And it just says,
also, Ralph, I think it's interesting to note that in the King James, it says that there were two steps there, as you just read, that he did with this woman. In the King James, it reads, he loosed that spirit out of her. He cast it out. And then that next step was he laid on of hands and for healing. And then, of course, go ahead with the scripture you were going to read.
Well, that is, that was... With that scripture, and then the other one was in the book of John. Let's flip right over there. John 14. Wanted me to read 12 and 15. And, oops, I turned to the book of Acts. I got a couple different pages marked for different reasons. Okay. John 14:12. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also... And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." And then in verse 14 it says, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, yeah, that right there is a powerful, powerful promise. He who believes in me, the works that I do, and he will do also. So, that reasons this to me that if Jesus can't take a woman who's been sick for 18 years, then I can do that too and heal her. That you can do that. That Richard can do that. That all the listeners out there can do that. And that's just a wonderful promise from Jesus that he has given to us. That if we do these things in his name, miraculous things can happen. People can be healed. I mean, we have seen and testified over personally, and no pastor as well, different healings we've seen. I know during the prayer chain, prayer meeting, Richard brought up Brother Charles, which is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. That man had been almost nearly 10 years out being able to speak, and then was just a matter of being prayed over, and the spirits cast out, could immediately speak. And that is the power that Jesus is talking about giving to us. And it's just magnificent thing. Thank you, Lord. I give praise to you that you let us walk through that to help people. And that's what this show is about, the encouragement of testimonies, so that those out there that are suffering no longer have to walk in that suffering, but can walk in a freedom, because the word tells us that Jesus came to set us free, and that set us free from illnesses, set us free from our addictions, set us free from tormenting spirits, set us free from depression, set us free mentally, physically, and emotionally, and that's why we're here.
Amen. It is such an awesome thing for that to sink into us. I mean, we've all come out of kind of traditional praying. It takes a little while to adjust to who me speak directly in Jesus' name. Who am I to do this? Well, Jesus said believers shall do this in his name. Cast out demons, heal the sick, lay hands on the sick and all. It takes a while for that to soak in, but just like our ministers last Monday night with those 14 that were there, and they're usually new people, not every night, some have to come back for additional ministry, but overall the majority seem to get free in one evening, and the teams, they were all speaking directly to these situations in Jesus' name, just as Jesus did. They did it in his name. And of course we get to see these miracles happen right in front of us, and even these short legs and arms, I've seen thousands of those now over these 39 years I've been doing this, and it blows me away every time that it's that we can speak in Jesus' name like this and do it. So that's why we're on the show tonight, is try to get these points across that Jesus gave us. And while God answers prayer, he nevertheless has given us the power and even the commands to speak directly. And he, as he said there in John 14:15, if you love me, you will do my commands. Well, how's that? That puts it on us pretty strong.
It does. And one of the commands was given out in the Great Commission was to lay hands on the sick and cast out demons, to preach the gospel, to baptize. These are commands of Jesus. These are commands of the Father given to us. And if we love him, we'll do those instructions. Just like you do with as you're growing up as a child, you did the things that your earthly father told you to do because you loved him and you wanted to please him. And that's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to do these things. He wants Christians to operate in this authority he's given to us, to walk in that and to do these things, because that is that's the commission, and that's our instructions. These are commands, and it's just an awesome thing to think about. As I sit there and read that, greater things than these you will do also. I mean, greater things than the works of Jesus, and Jesus did some magnificent works, and I really look forward to the day when the church is operating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we see these things on a regular basis everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, where if someone is sick, people heal, people lay hands upon them. They don't, I personally want to see every doctor put out of business.
Amen. Well, we're believing that day will come. And of course, when we speak like that, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that goes forth, causing all these miracles and these supernatural things happening. And it's once you've tasted of that, as I did 39 years ago, I wanted to see more, and I've been seeing more ever since. It's exciting, it's high adventure, and it's very fulfilling for any Christian that God will use us this way. And it's I'm always on a high afterwards. So, hallelujah.
Yeah, and I do understand that high, because I've been there on Monday nights, worked with people myself, and when you see the immediate results, it's very, very rewarding.
Yes. I thank God over and over that somebody shared, and that's what we're doing here tonight on the show. We're sharing so others can hear and learn to do this. It's not a special gift. It's normal Christianity.
Pastor, we have Mary with us. Mary, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Thanks for calling. I'm excited.
Sure. I would not have missed it for the world.
Yeah. You have an exciting testimony to share. And so why don't you get on into it? That kind of gives some history on yourself and how you first learned about deliverance and then experiences that have come to pass.
Okay, sure. I would love to. My name is Mary. I'm out of St. Louis, Missouri, and I am a beloved child of Christ, has been most of my life, a very strong believer that God can do anything but fail. I was recently diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 4, that led into some lymphoma, as well as spots on my liver and in my lungs. I have a very, very wonderful friend, Juanita, that lives in Lawton, Oklahoma, who was visiting with me in early part of October, and I was sharing with her about my cancer and how, you know, I just needed some help in reaching out. Juanita said to me, I'm going to come over and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to help deliver you, walk you through the steps and so forth. And I was very open to that. However, we must also keep in mind that Satan is always busy and does not want the name of Jesus to be glorified. So immediately, the contact with Juanita was cut off. My cell phone was lost for several days, and I had no communications with her whatsoever while she was in the St. Louis area. Juanita went back to Oklahoma, not knowing what was going on with me, because she didn't have any of my family members' contact. And that was lost. Once I did recover my phone to find out only that a relative that was in town for a wedding, the phone was left in their car, and they had returned back to Cedar Rapids, and eventually realized it was my phone. Once I got the phone back, I called Juanita, and I told her, I said, you know, that Satan that's trying to keep me from being healed and receiving my blessing that God has for me. So she said, I know. So we had a conversation and ended it. That was on a Friday, and that Saturday night, Juanita called me back, and she says, Mary, she said, you've got to come to Oklahoma City. And I said, well, what's going on in Oklahoma City? She says, there's this deliverance clinic here in Oklahoma. Juanita, by the way, lives in Lawton, Oklahoma. And she said, I need you here as soon as possible so that we can begin the process of attending the deliverance ministry in Oklahoma. And I said, well, okay, Juanita, I said, the problem right now is my husband works evenings, and he is at work and won't get home until about 3:30 or 4 o'clock Sunday morning. And she said, well, I got to have you here Sunday. And I said, well, I said, as soon as he comes home, I'll talk to him, and if he's okay with that, then I'll probably head to Oklahoma. My husband came in about 3 o'clock that morning, Sunday morning, and I shared with him what Juanita had shared with me, and right away he said, honey, you gotta go. You just gotta go. And I said, you know, I have to go. And I said, are you going to be okay? And he said, sure. The main thing is that we want you to receive your blessing. And I said, okay. I said, now I can't make this drive alone because I got some health issues going on. So I contacted my son who works midnights and doesn't get off until 8 o'clock in the morning. And I called him and he said, Mom, he said, that's important. He said, we believe that God is able. And he said, I'll ride with you. And I said, oh, my God. I said, it's meant for me to go. So my son got off that morning, and we threw together some overnight clothes, got in the car, left St. Louis about 8:30 Sunday morning, and I said, you sleep and I'll drive, and you drive back. And that's exactly what we did. We headed to Oklahoma City, and from there on over to Lawton. It was the most perfect ride that I had ever had in traveling while I was driving. During that time, my mind was just at complete peace. It was like a child returning home to see his mother or his father that they hadn't seen for a while, because I knew that God would be waiting there for me. I didn't know what to expect at the deliverance center. I'd never gone through that process before, and Juanita didn't share anything. She just said, we will prepare you when you get here. However, on my way, I started talking to God, just the two of us, and the things that he was having me to say and do in the ride was like, I started forgiving people. I started forgiving myself. I started looking at different situations, that sinful situations. I asked God's forgiveness on different things, and it was just a very peaceful transition. It's really hard to explain, but during all of this long ride, I never got tired. I was just at peace. And when we got to Oklahoma, about 6 o'clock that evening, met with Juanita and went to her home, and she was a beautiful host. Thank God for her and her spirit and her husband as well. We shared the evening there, and we went through some fasting and some praying, and Juanita was laying hands on me throughout the entire night, from about 8 o'clock that evening all the way up until time for us to make the drive back from Lawton to Oklahoma City. And when we got there, she introduced me to a young man by the name of Everett Cox. I had never met Mr. Cox before. I had never heard of him before. I had never heard of the deliverance ministry before, but I just knew that a blessing was waiting on me there. We got there, and we went in. We began. He spoke. He explained to us, and it was just, it was not just me. It was other people from other different places that had come to either be delivered or healed from something. And it's not all about just healing from sickness that was very impressive to me. It was that, because at that point I realized that sometimes you don't have to be physically ill, but you can be delivered from so many things that's got you caught up and tangled up that keeps you from receiving your blessings from God. And we went through, he went through explaining things to us. We went through what he called the, what the ministry called breaking ungodly soul ties, and that was really good because it gave us an opportunity to do the same things that God had placed upon my heart to do while I was traveling, and that was to speak a person's name, not just to think about it in your mind, but the idea was to speak it out loud, was to say it, and I did that. And when I went in, it was we were introduced to different other people, and eventually we went through we went through some other phases in where we were in breaking these ties. We were taking the things that were within our individual lives and placing them at the feet of Jesus so that they could be dealt with in a higher power. And you know, during that process, I opened my mind. I had to. It was a free will, but at the same time, I had to let a lot of things go. A lot of things were revealed to me that many times I would often wonder, why me, Lord? Why me? Why do I go through the troubles and the things that I have to go through? Not only was I dealing with cancer, but in going through my deliverance with my mentor, with the minister that was mentoring unto me, a lot of things were revealed to me that there had been a curse placed upon my family. And this curse had been there for over 150 years from my father's side of the family. It didn't make a lot of sense to me at first, but then when I thought about a lot of things that I had gone through in my life, I was burned over about 25% of my body at the age of 5 months old. And the afflictions and the turmoils and things in my life just continue one after the other. You get through one crisis and something else would come. This cancer is a recurrence. It's back. And it just always seems like something was always standing in the wings just waiting. I had a wonderful mentor. Her name was Linda. And when Linda revealed to me the things that were, well, Linda spoke certain things and God revealed to me things that were going on in my life and why they were going on in my life. And one of the things that came out was that my life was full of darkness. But I know that as a child of God, it should have been more light in my life. And that's when it was revealed about the curses. And Linda said, well, the Lord is showing me afflictions more so than darkness. And when I went back through looking at the afflictions and trying to analyze this, I realized after leaving Oklahoma that myself and my siblings, we are the last generation of my father's entire generation. My father had muscular dystrophy, and his entire family has been wiped out other than myself and my sister and my two brothers. All of his sisters, all of his aunts, his cousins, his mother, his father, all of them are gone. And it made sense to me that the curse of affliction was upon us. So we had to break that ungodly soul tie from generations of curses in order for me to be free. And so that my children and their families could prosper and move past these curses. I have to honestly say, I went through this deliverance. I opened my mind, I opened my heart, I increased my faith because I knew that it was going to be my faith in God that was going to bring me through what I was dealing with. During the process, Linda helped me to establish that, or helped me to realize that all of these things were suppressing me and they were holding me down. And once we really got into the ministry part and my soul was being fed and God was there with us, my body got cold, cold as ice. And I kept saying, oh my God, I'm so cold. Can I get something to warm me up? Linda made the statement to me. She says, no, you don't want to do that because death is leaving your body. It's leaving your soul. And I was like, oh, my God. And true enough, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, something moved in my body, and I could feel it fall off. And when it did fall off, I was trembling. I was spitting up. I was coughing up. But the main thing was my entire body felt light as a feather, and there was no fear at all. I knew that God's presence was with me. I knew that he was blessing me, and most of all, I knew that he had healed me. And he told me that he had healed my body. And I said, I surrendered to him, and I said, Lord, you said it. I believe it. I'm going to take you at your word. And I did that. And before I walked out of that building, I turned to my friend and my son who was with me. I said, for the first time in about 3 to 4 years, I am pain-free. I have no pain in my body. Hallelujah. I had no pain in my body. And in the past several years, all I did was take different type of pain medication. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which means that all the nerve endings in my body, sometimes the pain would just come. When I had gone to my oncologist to be examined, under my right armpit, I could not raise my right arm. I could not sleep at night because my arm could not touch the side of my body. And the most part through the night, I would be up. Or during the day, I would have to sit on the couch so I didn't have to touch that. When she went to examine me, she could not touch me because I was so sore. And under my right armpit where my lymph node is, it was swollen and it was so painful. Well, when I left out of that building in Oklahoma City in the deliverance ministry, the first thing I did was raise both of my arms up as high as I could. And I couldn't praise make God. Any cartwheels because I just didn't have I'm not that young, but I just went to spinning around and had my arm up and saying, thank you, Jesus, because I did not have that pain. And I have to say, from that day to this day, I still have no pain in my body. I came back to St. Louis. I went before my church. I've been a member of the same church for 38 years now. I told my pastor, I called him once I was in Oklahoma, told him where I was and what I was doing. When I got back, he asked me to come up and give my testimony. I gave my testimony, and so many people were touched because they know what my spirit is, and they know how I feel about Christ. And it's good to be able to tell others so that you can strengthen them and let them know that there is hope and that God is real and that, you know, you can go through the things that you're going through, but you have to increase your faith and you have to know that God is able and he is willing. One of the things that I had not been able to do, I had not been able to clean my house. And, you know, some people say, well, that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal when you are accustomed to being an active person and an involved person. I couldn't clean my house. I'm a newlywed. I've been married just a little over a year. And I had not been able to cook. A lot of things I had not done. Once I came back from Oklahoma, my house is clean. I'm just so energized and bubbly. And my husband came home one night about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. He had a four-course meal cooked. And he said, wow, am I in the right house? And I said, yeah, you're in the right house. So for several days in a row, he had a home-cooked meal, and that has been going on.
Yeah.
So to people who don't believe this is real or they have doubts that it's real, just know. Nobody paid me to come forward to say this. Nobody asked me to generate this or that because I'm saying what God did for me. He healed me. He has blessed me. And I know that if he did it for me, he could do it for others. Just stand on God's word. And you have to, once you come through that deliverance, it doesn't stop there. You still have to stay in God's word in order to stay free. And I have to read my word every day. I have to pray. I have to worship. I have to fellowship with like-minded Christians. And I have to keep all those doors closed that Satan can sneak in on. That means I have to walk in the Spirit. And I have to resist Satan by speaking God's word and strengthen my spirit. And then I have to make godly choices. Always putting God first in my life. Always putting him first. And any and everything else that I want, he will add it to that. And I am so thankful that there is a deliverance ministry. I am so thankful that people are being delivered. I'm thankful that these people volunteer their time. You know, I'm going to be sending a donation back. I gave one that night, but I'm going to be sending something in to keep this ministry alive, because it is so important that people understand and know that that's available to them. I had never heard of the deliverance ministry in Oklahoma until my friend Juanita shared that with me. And I thank God for her every day. I thank God for every. You are a blessing. Continue to do what you're doing so that people like me and people that are not like me, that they can find Christ, that they can be delivered from whatever is going on in their lives, that they don't have to settle for anything any less.
Amen.
It's God's children. He has everything that we need. All we need to do is trust him, believe in him, and have faith that he will deliver
us. Blessing, Mary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Mary.
For being such a blessing.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
A wonderful testimony.
That will encourage others that they'll reach out as well, Mary. Well, we're out of time. We have another caller calling in.
Okay, sure.
Thank you again.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And keep us updated. We'll look forward to talking to you some more.
Yes, and I do plan to make that visit back to Oklahoma, and I'm going to be bringing some people with me. So I look forward to doing that. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you, Mary. Blessings.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
You know, men, as we get ready for this next caller, I don't mean to interrupt, but as you read earlier in Luke 13, that Mary's testimony was the lady from Luke 13. That woman, that actual woman there, I don't think could have given a better testimony. Praise God.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. You got your next caller, man. Here she is.
Hello.
Hello, Iris.
Yes, hi, Everett.
Iris.
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks for calling. Well,
thanks for inviting me.
We're having some great time here this evening, glorifying Jesus and sharing what Jesus is doing in people's lives. And I'm so glad you called in to do as well. So you might give some history on yourself, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Well, I just want to share something very recent that just happened Monday night that I'm so excited about. And I was at my small group meeting, and we do a lot of deliverance and healing, and a man pointed his finger at me, and I got nervous when people start prophesying, you know. And he said, "You are supposed to be teaching us about deliverance." And I said, "Wow, really?" He said, "Yes, I feel this in the spirit." And immediately teaching started coming out of me. And not only that, but people started running after me after the meeting to tell me that they needed deliverance. And then you called. So I'm just so excited about what God is doing, because people are hungry. I heard the lady before me say people need this. So bless you for what you're doing and having this show and talking about this, because people are hungry for it and they need it very much.
I'm believing you're set Virginia free there.
Amen. We've been seeing a little bit, but not as much as I know that is needed. So I'll just say briefly, I have my Bible open to Matthew chapter 10. I was in the New Age witchcraft for about 40 years or 50, maybe 40 years. I started when I was a child. I wanted to do something powerful. My church was pretty pretty dry, and we never did anything supernatural in my church growing up, and I thought, oh, I want to see something happen. And I began to get interested in New Age things and witchcraft things because I wanted to see power. And I did. I saw lots of unusual things happen. But I did start when I was 8 or 9 years old. I started with a Ouija board. I got one for Christmas. I think my mother bought it at the local Five and Dime. And I got excited about that. Me and my friends, we wanted to contact the dead and so forth, and it worked. And then I kind of escalated from there. And I can't even list all the things I did. I did about everything you could do until I got saved. So praise the Lord. I'm glad God gave me that experience, because now when I talk to people about witchcraft and I meet people, I look at them with a lot of love and compassion, because I've been there and I understand what that's like. But I'm so excited. I'm on the other side now and I can help them. So I think I need some questions to help me get in the right direction. I don't know if you want
sure.
my testimony.
Well, so you were into New Age and the witchcraft activity. So how did you happen to hear about deliverance?
Well, first I had to hear about Jesus, because Jesus is deliverance.
Yes.
Jesus came to set
right.
the captives free. And on the night, just shortly after, I had a huge supernatural deliverance. I was not in the church. I rejected the church. I had a following of people who listened to my unusual teachings I was doing in those days. And I had a lot of power to do amazing things. I was doing healing and other witchcraft activities. I thought I was being a helpful person. I had a huge supernatural deliverance. I think some people at my workplace were praying for me. And I think my mother may have been praying for me. And I just think God had decided to save me. I really don't know why this happened. I was not in a church. And I had an experience of hell. Spirits came out of the depth of my living room floor, so to speak, and began to choke and try to kill me and pull me down, 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 down. And of course, being a New Ager, I never associated the devil with the New Age. You know, I thought the New Age was good things to do. New Agers don't really think about evil.
Yes. And a lot of people just are not educated. They just kind of learning one thing at a time. So go ahead. How'd you get born again then? Hello? Hello?
Did you lose her?
Well, it would seem so.
Yeah, maybe she'll
call back here.
Yeah, the line still shows good here.
Well, Iris, if you can hear us, would you just hang up and please call back?
All right, we've
right.
line disconnected, so
well,
maybe she'll give a call back.
Continuing along those lines, look how many people are deceived, and of course, one of the demons we run into constantly is the deceiver. And he has a whole group of troops under him that go about that very mission of lying into Christians' heads, lying into anybody's head, and steering them away from Christ and the gospel. And they are very educated at it. They've done it a long time. And they're very effective. And so here we have a whole world out there that's following the New Age and into witchcraft. Some think they're into what they call white witchcraft, and that's okay. Well, none of it's okay. It's all on the other side. And what she was talking about, she was using witchcraft powers. There are powers over there. The good news being, in Jesus' name, we as Christians are the ones with all power over the enemy, Luke 10:19, and even the promise that nothing will harm us. But anyway, there's a whole world of people out there following the deceiver and into witchcraft. She was seeking powers, and of course, once you've tasted the powers by the Holy Spirit, you never go back to the other.
Well, Pastor, we have Iris back. Let me bring Iris on. Iris, thanks for calling back.
Are you there, Iris? Okay, well, go. And, Richard, if you could turn the gain up a little.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that here. Iris, are you there?
Iris, can you hear me?
She had said her phone had just died. We'll have to try it again. Well, Miss Iris have to call back because I had her there for a second.
Use another phone, perhaps.
Here she goes. Let's try this. Hey, good evening. Are you back, Iris? Well, the old lights on but nobody's home thing. Let me see if I can get her on. I'll try something else. You guys go ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
How about we just do this real quick, Pastor? Father, in the name of Jesus, we prevent the enemy. Right now, we forbid the enemy from operating
in
this broadcast. We command all spirit that would want to stop this broadcast and this testimony from going out. In Jesus' name, we have the power and authority over you. We have given to us spirits. You were defeated at the cross, and we command you right now in the name of Jesus to go.
Yes. And any demons affecting the phone lines, we terminate your assignment. We rebuke you, command you to go. In Jesus' name, we command the lines to operate. In Jesus' name, blood of Jesus over the lines.
Jesus,
thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Iris, do we have you there? Well?
I can hear a dial tone. That's better.
Yes. Iris, are you there? Hello?
Well, anyway,
how about we just bring Iris on a later date, because she's not going to have much time to finish her testimony. But that's just the way it happens sometimes. Things with the phone lines, and it could very well be that the enemies of Christ, the demonic spirits, the devil himself, did not want this testimony to get out. But that's all right. I'm thinking of a couple of examples of power that was operating outside of the Holy Spirit that was in the book, in the Bible itself, in the books of Acts. We had Simon the magician, some say Simon the sorcerer, was performing fantastic wonders as well. But he was amazed when he saw the Holy Spirit. He wasn't amazed at the powers. He was amazed at how much he was seeing through the Holy Spirit. And then you had the woman who had a spirit of divination, who was bringing her master as much profit. I'm a firm believer that's going on in Hollywood today, because there's just too many coincidences over the years of things that have happened on a TV show, a movie, or a cartoon. And several years later, it happens. And I've always chalked that up as a spirit of divination, that somehow they're having access to future events, and it's giving them ideas for shows. And then, I forgot my third. But my third example was when Jesus was casting out spirits. The Pharisees, they weren't amazed that it was happening. They were just trying to attribute to a different source of power, because they said, "You cast them out by the power of Beelzebub, or the devil." So they knew that these things could be done, and it did not surprise them as being done, because they said, "Well, you're not doing this by the hand of God, you're doing this by the devil." So there is power out there, and that is attractive to a lot of people wanting to get into witchcraft. I've talked to some people who have been into it and have gotten out, and some of them think, well, there's nothing wrong with that white witchcraft, because they're doing good. It puts on a perception as being good. But in the realm, the spiritual realm, it's evil, because it's access of power outside the Holy Spirit and not operating in the realm of Jesus.
Yes, and thank God we're the ones with all power. It's been given to us from the cross. And so you know, there's lots of people, like you say, that are seeking powers, but I'm anxious to hear how she got born again. Someone shared with her, obviously, and then her, you know, the things she was talking about are all door openers for demons, going to seances, the Ouija boards, any involvement with witchcraft and seeking witchcraft powers or information on the witchcraft side opens a door, and demons of witchcraft come in. So she obviously had her share of good three dozen spirits plus. So we didn't get to hear how she got delivered and all, but she obviously was.
Well, Pastor,
she's
following
Jesus now.
We're going to try one more time. Iris, are you there? Boy, we just seem to have lost the line here, so I guess not. Okay, sorry, guys. We tried something different, and but it's still not working.
That's
so
okay.
We'll give it back to you.
That's okay.
Well, very good.
That's live radio for you, huh?
Yeah, if it was recorded, we just cut that part out,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But, she obviously got free and had deliverance with someone. And well, I guess she may have come to Oklahoma City. I because how else would I have heard about her? I had her name somehow, it would have been interesting to hear the rest of her story. But we'll have her on again to do that.
Yes, we can do that. Tell you what, Mary
yeah.
Before her. Wow. She was on fire. I don't know, Mary, if you're listening or not, but your testimony lifted me up, encouraged me, and it was just so neat to hear as she was going out there. The Holy Spirit was already working in her, already working on her way out there and talking to her about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And Pastor, I know that you've seen this time and time again, that people have not received healings because of something for not having any forgiveness.
Over and over. And of course, it blocks deliverance as well. We constantly have cases where people, where they do not get free, they have to come back, and sure enough, we'll find that there's more unforgiveness, and often unforgiveness toward themselves. And I had a lady the other day that also was carrying unforgiveness toward God. She was blaming him for things that had happened in her, some things that happened in her life, not thinking about how it is Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And she was blaming our God, our Jesus, for the bad things. So their education is needed to learn about this, of course, and to get delivered and to stay delivered. So the spirit world is kind of complicated when you get down to, but on the other hand, it's not that hard. And to learn the steps, and it is important. You've got to get enough education to maintain your freedom, but we teach that. The steps and keys for staying free is part of what we teach and give out to the people to take. Do it. So the neat thing is that we're in control of this. We as the individuals are in the controls. Once you learn who you are in Jesus, and start learning the scriptures of who you are. One of the handouts we give out is called the I Am's, and Scriptures for America have that as well. And they're just a grouping of scriptures of who we are in Jesus. So the more you accept what those scriptures are and who you are in Jesus, the more you grow, and the more you counter the lies that the demons are trying to speak at you to counter the truth.
Amen. I think one of the most powerful I Am's you can say, especially when you're fighting or have an illness in your life or battling some sort of infirmity, is the by His stripes, I am healed. Because those stripes laid upon Jesus' back at the whipping post was for our healing. And you can actually sit there and visualize thinking that one of those lashes right on his back was for Ralph's healing or for Mary's healing or for Pastor Everett's healing. And that's just a very, very important thing to say. I know that we've practiced that for years. I remember Pastor Peter's praying over me once,
And actually, he's praying over a lot of different people. And right when everybody was done, he would before you, he'd let you sit up. You know, when the elders come and anoint oil, he'd make you say it. He goes, "Now I want you to say it," and he'd make everybody say it before they stood up. "By his stripes, I am healed." So that is a fantastic "I am" to practice. It really is. You know, something that was very interesting in her, in Mary's testimony. We have a woman on the ministry that before we knew about deliverance, had battled cancer. And she had went through a nutritional doctor, and she lives in the same town as I do, and I've talked to her and her husband on several occasions about it. But one thing that was really interesting was her nutritional doctor kept telling her that her cancer was linked to forgiveness. And that she had to have, there was somebody that she needed to forgive. And
She had that figured out. That's exactly what we see.
It said it took some time to realize who it was, and I think it was her sister, if I remember the testimony right. But, she didn't get that healing until that forgiveness was done. And I've read before, I wish I could find an article I read several years back, that cancer is an emotional disease, and it's bitterness. It's pent-up bitterness is what it is.
It's linked
directly to your attitude, and, of course, attitude would be practicing forgiveness. And, it is said just too many times over and over in the Bible to forgive, to forgive, to forgive. And I would rather err on the on the side of forgiveness than err on the side of unforgiveness.
It'd be better to forgive too much, wouldn't it, Ralph, than too little.
Yes, it would
so
be.
If you think you need to forgive anybody, do it. You speak out.
Yes.
What we found works. You forgive so-and-so and you bless so-and-so.
Yes.
And then go on
and
to the next
easy
one.
Words to say. Those are
if
such
Jesus
easy words
had said it, and we say this over and over, but it can't be said enough that in Matthew 18:34-35, that Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors, and that is exactly what we see over and over and over. Demons have a right to stay. Physical infirmity spirits have a right to stay. I think unforgiveness blocks all the blessings. I think it blocks prayer and everything. So it's just not worth it. We can choose. We can choose and we can forgive. We're entities of free choice.
Yes.
So we'll keep telling it. Amen.
Amen. And, the way Mary was going on, I think we could have been out of a job, which we could just put her on the next couple weeks, huh?
I think so.
That was just a fantastic testimony. And Iris, I'm sorry you weren't able to get on. We'll try to arrange that at a later date. But again, that is doing the supernatural works of Jesus can be obtained by calling Scriptures for America, or you can go to the website deliveranceusa.com, and all the ministry tools are there. There's testimonies. There's links to past Hope of the Life shows. There is different prayers that are on there you can use, prayers for setting people free from Masonic descendants and so forth. But we do appreciate everybody joining us this evening, and we'll see everybody next week. God bless, Pastor.
God bless you. God bless everyone.
Sometimes the world seems like a home. This place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case.